Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. Let me see now. What is it that we call this program? I had it on a card somewhere. Oh, wait, here it is. Ask the Pastor. So let's do that today. Let's ask the pastor about some of the questions we have received. And remember, if you have a question, this is the whole purpose of this program, you also can send in your questions to Ask the Pastor. Now here's how you do that. Ask at, that ask sign, askthepastornow.com. That's ask at askthepastornow.com. Well, without further ado, let's join Dr. Lyons as we begin our time together. Pastor, welcome. Thank you for being here. We're here waiting to hear more and more of God's Word because you always take us back to the Bible. Good morning.
Good morning, and I thank you for that. You know, I'm amazed how obvious the answer is. By that, I don't mean that people are asking questions that are super simplistic and, my goodness, why didn't you know that? That's not what I mean. What I mean is, where do we go for the answers? It's amazing that you find certain religious leaders that just have this incredible following. And it seems like sometimes the ones that have the largest crowds also have the poorest answers because they're drawing from their own intellect, you know, and sometimes it seems like they could make more money if they just simply sublet that space. But, you know, the real answers are not found in the world. The real answers are found in God's Word. If you're a born-again Christian, this is something you should know. You're... First question should be, what does the Bible say about it? And keep reading and get a feel for that. And you say, well, I don't know my Bible that well. Well, that's okay. That's how you start. You know, nobody starts off having it just plugged in with a microchip. Thank goodness. I hope Bill Gates wasn't listening. But no, you actually read for yourself and you sit under good, godly teachers. And you begin testing or trying your faith, Paul tells us. You see, there's an element that easily gets tossed aside. You know, I've seen people that they go, like, for example, for prophecy conferences all the time. They go to marriage conferences all the time. You know, best advice I give people who go to marriage conferences is don't go. Now, I realize that could impact book sales for somebody, but, you know, too often... The people who are doing these things are, in my mind, you know, hawking books more than anything else. And however well-intended, the reality is their standard is too perfect. And, you know, the Bible is the perfect standard, I grant you. But the point is, it's God's perfect standard. It's not man's idea. And so if you're getting up and saying, this is what the Bible says about marriage and the union, you quickly begin finding that the standard is very, very different. And, you know, I don't have a problem with singles studying marriage for the simple reason that if you study marriage in the Bible, you're also going to find out how to treat people with greater respect. Because, you know, you really can't, you know, we talk about, for example, in giving, you can't outgive God. Another aspect of that is that you can't be too nice to people, not really. Now, I've known people who are abusive and take advantage of people, and you say, well, clearly there's somebody you can't be too nice to, because if you are, they'll take advantage of you. All right, so we need wisdom balancing all this out. But really, if you have somebody, and all things being equal, you know, if you just treat them with respect and give them the benefit of the doubt and work with them, you'd be surprised at how much better the relationship can be. Are there some people out there that are just flat, mean, and nasty? Oh, yeah, I've met some of them. Unfortunately, I've even had to deal with
here,
some of them.
Here I am.
But here he is. Yeah. Live on, too. Oh, here we go. But, you know, I'm not going to go down memory lane for that one. Some things are best get locked and bolted and left that way. But, no, the reality is that, you know, if we start off with a basic person and show them kindness, you'd be surprised the number of people who will respond to that. Now, somebody who's just mean, ugly, and nasty, you know, and no, just to be clear, I'm not talking about our judge. You know, you just show simple, basic kindness. I didn't go there, did I? I did nice. But, that, see, that's the thing. It's amazing. You know, the old do unto others as they would do unto you. Isn't it amazing that a lot of times when you talk to a married couple who are in discord, that's not a accord, by the way, like a Honda, but a discord, they're not getting along well. Invariably, you're going to find one of them is taking advantage of the other one. It becomes about me and my stuff. And once that happens, no, you're not living a married life. And I think even single Christians, if you're not treating each other with the respect that you would want, then don't be surprised if there's tension out there and they're struggling because, you know, the best way for everyone to be number one is you presume the other person is number one. You put God as number one. You treat him with respect. And, you know, I have found leaders that I didn't disagree or that I did not agree with. And the moment I start to give them a little more benefit of the doubt and say, well, possibly they know what they're doing, you know, they get a little smarter as we deal with them. It's sort of like the young person who is amazed as they get older how their parents are less, you know, stupid. They suddenly realize, oh, you know, they knew more than I realized. You know, as you get older and you have children, things like that. But, you know, I was in a meeting Tuesday evening, and the person who was elected to be in charge of this meeting, you know, I had no respect for him, wanted him out, went in with the expectation of our getting rid of him. And, you know, he actually did a pretty good job. So I'm sure there's areas that he's got weaknesses, and rumor has it maybe I do too. But given a simple opportunity, he actually did pretty well. And so, you know, a lot of times it's just the fact that we are contentious that we miss out on a blessing. And so what does this have to do with everything we're talking about tonight? Well, I think a lot of the questions we have revolve around our not reading the Word of God for ourselves and not having godly teachers. We have people that we thought were godly teachers, and that was superficial. We have people who are, you know, we assume because they have a title. And you got to be careful nowadays. You'd be amazed how many people have a title, and they gave the title to themselves. The great example I use is some years ago, I was working with a fellow, and he was promoted as a relationship expert. And I asked one of their staff, I said, well, out of curiosity, how do you get a certification for being a relationship expert? And they say, you call yourself a relationship expert. There is no actual certification. So, you know, that if you ever wondered about that, so I need to talk to a relationship expert to get my relationships better. Well, just be aware you're talking to somebody who is a self-proclaimed relationship expert, you know. You know, you go through enough stuff, you might declare yourself one. So, you know that the people you, here's something to think about. If you're looking for counsel, get somebody who's got an invested interest, okay? You know, there's an old Southern expression about, you know, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, you're probably not really invested. And what we mean by that is if I'm asking for your advice on how to handle a financial issue, but you have nothing to gain or lose from it, you're either neutral, which might be a good thing, or what if you do have money invested in the deal and it's going to be to your financial advantage if I'm ruined? Well, chances are I may not want to take that advice. Your interest in this deal is for me to fail. So, you know, look for people who have an interest in you succeeding. And a godly pastor should have an interest in your succeeding spiritually. And so go to the Word of God. Go to people that want to help you succeed and take off and go forward, because therein are people that are good godly counselors. And I cannot emphasize enough, as you grow in your faith as a born-again Christian, get into the Word of God for yourself. Learn to study. And that may seem an odd statement because you might have been thinking, learn to study what? No, learn to study. There's certain aspects of just getting into study that we neglect, and we need to have little checks and balances to keep us on course. That's what Bible college students do. People who go to seminary, they learn to study. They learn what God is all about in order so that when they're reading a passage for themselves, they can sort of test it and says, well, that's not how God operates. That's not in harmony with the rest of the scriptures. That's the kind of thing that comes into play. So before we begin, I'm going to ask Jim to open us in prayer, but likewise want to give him an opportunity to jump in there. Is there anything that you've been picking up, especially from these last few weeks as we've been doing Q&As, that you'd like to touch on or share with our listeners?
Well, actually, Pastor, I've shared with you last week how after the first two of these series, Sonia and I discussed it, and it's always interesting, as I've told you, that God, I do believe, has a great sense of humor. When he puts a guy like me, a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants guy, I wing it. You might remember that from movie time. But when you think of two extreme opposites, that's Sonia and I. It's like when you see a traffic accident and there's two or three other bystanders that saw the accident, and then the police take a statement from all the witnesses, and how diametrically opposed all of these statements are. It was the white car that ran the red light. Another one will say, well, that black car was just out of control and he was speeding, you know. And so you get different perspectives. Well, this series has sparked a conversation, which if it's happening to me and my wife, think about the others that hear this program across the world. We go into many countries. This is interesting because this discussion, some people would go, yeah, I can't relate to it, but others can say, hey, I get this. I understand abuse. I understand doubt and pain and what happens in a marriage. So to me, it's been a very interesting series. It's not one I would have picked, but I'm learning. And isn't that the surprise of a guy like me, that you actually learn something? Because, you know, I'm a Bible student, and I love every time I get through the Bible, all the way through, I make a mark just to record how many times I've done that. And I'm telling you, Pastor, over the years, you and I have shared this, God keeps putting new stuff in there that wasn't in there the first time I read it. Isn't that amazing? And then the bottom line is, this is something that needs to be said. There are folks that are in abusive relationships that, you know, are trying to do what they understand God is asking them to do or commanding them to do. And you touched on it. Unfortunately, many rely on a man. That's their favorite pastor or this guy on TV or whatever. And how do they know that he's accurate? And so I think you've admonished us before, we need